I'm seriously going to look through my VHS collection. I know it's there.
We got perspective, we got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, all right. We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, all right. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, tonight.
Hello and welcome to episode 205 of Geek Girls, the Geek Girls podcast supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda and I'm joined by my co-host Ray.
Hello.
Unfortunately, Ember is feeling a little... she's under the weather, but in like headache form. She's not other type sick. She's got... So it's just me and Ray tonight and we'll do what we can. Today's topic is YA horror, specifically kind of the horror that we grew up with that got us into the horror genre, the gateway horror, if you will. So yep. What have you been up to, Ray?
My wrist is doing better, so I have some sketches that I had started, but I haven't actually finished anything, because I haven't had a chance to actually work on anything because my weekend was full of cleaning and then helping an awesome person, Madcap Miscellaneous, at the Makers Fair. The only other thing was my ranting about making houses, because I found a old school, my parents had this like design your own house. I think you're supposed to use it for like when you're planning on like remodeling your homes, but it's basically like an old sticker board on a grid for blueprints, and it has a bunch of vinyl stickers for walls.
It's the Sims 80s version.
And furniture, and yes, and John, the only thing I put on there was like the biggest tub icon that they had, because my dream house is having a giant tub.
Like you do.
Like a garden tub. Like, I'm not even that, like, I would love a bigger tub. But I'm like, I'm realistic. I probably couldn't afford a bigger tub. So I'll take a garden tub. I just need something that I can, like, lie down in better. We should have stolen that tub from when we went to Florida that was in the room.
Just like, no one's using magical. This.
That was magical. Yeah, we'll just remove the whole tub. But that's me. Kind of boring this week.
As for me, I did much crochet. I was talking to Ray a little bit before we started recording. Turns out when you crochet for 3 days straight with no real breaks, it feels like you've been doing bicep curls. Because I hold my crochet out like I'm like a steering wheel, apparently. So from like inner shoulder to inner elbow is just sore, and I was like, "Well, that's interesting. That's great."
Not a good thing.
Yeah, but I did have another successful market day, despite us having to pack up a little early because of the rain. We had several hilarious things. There was the moms playing whack-a-mole with their kids as the kids picked up things and the mom trying to get them to put them back down again. We had the tiny Chihuahua mix trying to intimidate a Great Dane.
Did not care.
Great Dane was just like, "Hello, friend." And the Chihuahua mix was like, "Come here, fisticuffs!
I will fight you for my mother's! I will fight you for my father's!" It was very angry.
It was. It was the angriest little dog. The lady who was, like, walking him had to pick him up, and she was like, "I guess he just doesn't like big dogs, because he's perfectly fine at home with our cat." So, I was like, "I don't know, ma'am." Might just be little dog syndrome.
Could be.
So that was it's always fun to go. I really like the atmosphere at Market Day, because it's just, you know, kind of chill. Lots of people walking their doggies. I've gotten a couple commissions out of it. And I've sold things on the website, which is great. If you ever have a website and you're getting kind of you're not sure you should keep it because it's been almost a year and no one's actually ordered anything off of it, just wait.
The orders will come.
The orders will come. It's almost the year anniversary of me having that shop website, and I finally got my first order.
Yay!
So, there's that. I do much crochet. I've got another crochet. If you want to see what a unput together Mario looks like, I've got pieces.
You got random pieces up.
A deconstructed Mario.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing I did, was that sketch for Atomic Youth that lots of people commented on. And I'm like, it's not that good of a sketch, but okay.
So says you, you know?
Because it was like not quite chibi, but not quite anime style. It was like a mixture of the two. And everybody's like, oh my gosh! And I'm like, really? Because, okay. People like it.
Yes.
I'll take it.
Whenever it comes time, if you ever decide to do any sort of booth or artist alley or something like that, I shall be your hype man, just as you have been hype man for me.
Okay. I can get back into the the fortitude to have a table and then have stock.
Mm-hmm. That stock, making and keeping stock is the big thing.
Yeah.
I can attest to that. So, our things are usually a little shorter when it's just the two of us, so we're going to go ahead and get into our topic. We're basically talking about just the YA horror kind of genre as a whole, but specifically what brought this topic up was the making of Fear Street into its own little kind of... It's three movies, so it's like a little trilogy. Mini-series, almost. And just... It was a very prevalent, I guess, a very prevalent little book series when I believe I was in middle school. So I think, Ray, you may have been in high school at the time. Or maybe it was earlier than that.
It was a bit earlier.
I might be misremembering. It may have been for, like, elementary school for me. Because I remember Goosebumps. Yeah. Like, Goosebumps definitely was... saw books as early as elementary school.
Right. Well, R.L. Stein started... He wrote Fear Street first. So the first Fear Street book was The New Girl. Mm-hmm. And that came out in 1989. So I was 8. Because I read them through...
Even earlier than I'm thinking. I may have just seen them because they were in our library at the middle school.
That could be, because it looks like...
Goosebumps and Fear Street were in our library, I remember very distinctly. Now, I didn't read them, but I knew, like, I knew they existed. I was into, like, Babysitter's Club and Animorphs. That was kind of my jam of the serialized books.
Well, again, this kind of ties into, like, because there is an age gap between us, and I distinctly remember, like, reading these, like, popcorn.
Or eating them.
And I might have started in fifth or sixth grade with them. Because I don't remember them any earlier than that, but I definitely know in middle school that is what I had. Like, I had to go and testify in a court case as a young girl in middle school, and I had my Fear Street books with me while I waited to be called to stand, so that was fun. It was all about a serial killer, too. It was really weird.
One yikes.
Strange stories.
Yeah.
Even stranger, taken out of context.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he wrote, like, what, 50, 51...
There are a lot.
There are a lot. That's the original ones. And then he had the Super Chillers, which were, like, the extra big size ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ones I really liked... Oh, the Cheerleaders was, like, hands down my favorite mini-series within the Fear Street. It was basically just all about this cheerleader group that was utterly cursed. It was great. And the ones that the movie's kind of based off is the Fear Street Saga, which is basically goes into the origin of, like, Sarah Fear and the curse, and, like, why Fear Street, this weird little town, has all... or this particular street has all these issues with all this weird psycho killers and pseudo-mystical, like, hauntings and whatnot, so...
And the movies are quite good, and, of course, the second one, you know, the campgrounds hold a little bit of a place in Ray and mine heart, because it was Rutledge, I believe.
Yep.
And we've been there many times, a LARPing, so it's like, ah, yes, I recognize this stretch of cabin and wood. We would call that the murder, Murder Alley.
Murder Alley, yep. My characters have also died in that area,
yeah.
Kind of thing.
Because it was real dark at night, and the plot staff would send monsters to just stand in the tree line and wait till somebody came by.
Yep, let's see. Yeah, and it looks like Goosebumps started around 92, because when Goosebumps started, I picked up, like, a book or two. They were a little too young for me.
Yeah, they're definitely kind of... They're aimed... I think Fear Street was aimed more at middle high school.
Yeah, more teenager, and Goosebumps was definitely more, like, elementary middle.
Yeah, which is interesting, because... You know, it went, you know, it went from for YA, an older audience to a younger audience, so it was introducing them even earlier. Mm-hmm. And, like I said, I didn't ever get into the books proper, but I knew they existed. I, however, remember very distinctly... the Are You Afraid of the Dark series that was on Nickelodeon.
I was actually about to ask you if you remember the Goosebumps TV series from the 90s, but...
Very, very faintly, I remember that there was a TV series.
Yep. Are You Afraid of the Dark? Definitely.
I only watched a few of those episodes. I scared easy. Like, I was kind of a scaredy cat. I mean, my scarometer got snapped by Fantasia when I was like, I want to say six. So, look at Fantasia from a six-year-old's perspective. There's scary stuff in there. But I remember a couple of episodes, and I know, like, that demographic, definitely a lot of people... my age group probably got introduced to, like, the horror genre through Are You Afraid of the Dark, Goosebumps, that kind of thing. And also, there was a show, I don't know if you will recall it. It was more like, it was horror, but it was also, like, kind of folklore, which I think is where my love of folklore came, like, started up. It was called So Weird.
I don't remember So Weird, but I did have Eerie Indiana, which was more like horror comedy. I actually still have the box set, because that that one, I think, started in, like, 89 or also in the 90s.
Let me see if I can find one. So Weird only had a few seasons.
But Erie, Indiana was definitely one of those early ones that I watched. I think that was on, like, Saturday mornings. Oh, 1991. So.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it was a weird town. It was a small town that weird stuff happened. Like, Bigfoot would walk through, or, like, one of the neighbors looked exactly like Elvis in the first episode. And I loved this episode. It freaked me out because my mom was in the Tupperware at the time. Is the Tupperware episode where there's a crazy Tupperware lady trying to get everybody in a Tupperware, and she's eternally young. And we come to find out that's because her whole family is perfectly preserved in Tupperware.
Oh,
at
dear.
Night in beds. Oh yeah, like, so eventually the kids all work together to get her two boys, who have not grown up since the 50s because they've been preserved in Tupperware. They rebel against mom, mm-hmm. and open her Tupperware in the middle of the night after she's put them in, and is dramatically, of course, aged the next day, and so are they, and they are finally adults. They're free to live their own lives. It's really good series. It's really fun. It's like a mixture of, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark and Pete and Pete's mixed up. It's a good way to describe it.
Yeah. Okay, so I found So Weird. It was on the Disney Channel.
That's why we didn't have Disney.
Is from January of 1999 to September of 2001. It was American Canadian, and yeah, there was only three seasons. The series was compared to the Fox TV series The X-Files, since it took a darker tone than any other Disney Channel show at the time.
I watched The X-Files a lot too.
Yeah, that's not specifically YA, so we're not getting into that, but I loved that show. And like I said, it goes more folklore. I mean, horror's in there. But it had everything from, like, the vampires to sirens to fair folk, like haunted mirrors, cursed cameras. It had, like, everything.
Going back further, Unsolved Mysteries kind of could have also, like, that sure terrified me.
Yes,
because
I would
of the
leave,
alien episodes.
I would leave the room when the music came on.
The theme song is still like, But I also remember, like, between, like, all the true crime stuff, there was also, like, ghost story ones.
Yeah.
Or, like, champ ones, and, like, those were some of my favorite ones.
Mm-hmm.
Not the aliens, of course.
Right.
But
yeah,
that easily fed into, like, yeah, early horror addiction, and possibly also my true crime addiction still.
Yeah. There was also, I don't know if this was actually marketed as a YA, but there was Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Oh, that was definitely, like, supposed to be for kids or...
But man, it started as a book. There is a movie now, at least one.
I need to see the movie, actually. But yes, the books are written by Alvin Schwartz,
and they are. It's the visuals of it, the illustrations that I remember the most.
Yes,
because
no.
I remember
Stephen Mel.
I remember being in an after school program. Pardon me, and one of my friends had the book, and it was after school program, so I think I was still in elementary school, and I just remember looking and seeing the illustrations and being like, nope, not for me. No thanks.
So meanwhile, I saw the illustrations, was like, yes, need to read these creepy books. Yeah, no, I absolutely love those. Like, as a kid, it was, before I got into Fear Street and stuff, it was, like, ghost story collections.
Mm-hmm.
And Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark and, like, anything remotely related to that before, like, Fear Street and then Stephen King. But yeah, those illustrations, those weird, inky, watercolor...
Sketchy.
Oh, God, I love them so much!
If you've seen them, if you know, you remember. I promise you will be like, ah, yes, I remember those. They're very iconic. But it's just interesting to me because I... Uh-oh.
Apparently, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark came out in 1981. Which is when I was born. Which is why I got really excited there. And then they had the other sequels about every couple of years later.
Mm-hmm.
More books.
It's like an anthology series.
Yep. 91 was Scary Stories 3. I have a list of everything that illustrator worked on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the like for young adults. For kids / young adults, so I'm like, ooh, neat!
The reason why I wanted to talk about this is that I don't know, and I, you know, kind of wish Ember was here talking with us, because I don't know that before the mid-80s, there really was, like, a YA-centric horror genre. I mean, maybe there was, but it was really in, like, from, like, you know, 89 through the 90s that, you know, you had all these just anthology series, almost, you know. I think that, you know, Fear Street, Goosebumps, all of the things that we have talked about, like, I think they inspired a lot of folks to get into horror who may not have gotten into horror if there wasn't, like, this, what you might call a gateway, a gateway horror for them.
And part of me wonders if that's because, like, starting, like, horror's always been a genre, but, like, it kind of, to me, and again, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, so this is from a lot from my perspective, but the 70s really kind of started the whole slasher horror movie thing. Like,
right.
That became a big thing in the 70s, carried into the 80s, and then, like, I think Jason was technically 79, but, like, started the big franchises, like Jason and Freddy, and then we got Mike Myers from Halloween, and then even, like, Clive Barker and the Puzzle Box with Pinhead and all of them.
Hellraiser.
Yeah. So it just, like, really kind of... I just seem like it made it more part of the cultural zeitgeist. Like, horror is now more in your face. And also, like, 70s to 80s is, like, when Stephen King became, like, a household name. Like, my mom started me on Stephen King short stories because she didn't want to deal with me reading some of his more sexually explicit, for lack of a better term, stories. So she's like, start with these, and then we'll see where you go from there. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that may have just made it more popular for everybody to kind of pick up on.
Yeah, and I don't want to call it... YA horror is... It's not necessarily a safe horror because it's a horror book. It's a horror genre. But I do...
Scare you.
I do think that maybe the YA is a little gentler about it.
Yeah, like...
Or it's like it's set in a setting that they can relate to.
Like I don't remember my Fear Street books being very explicit. Like, there's a lot more fade to black.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like Christopher Pike because the one book I picked up was a bit more than I wanted, than I was ready to read at that time. About, like, sexiness that I'm like, I'm still a little young and I'm still not quite getting this. So maybe less less sexy vampires and more serial killers. I'm gonna go back to Fear Street for that.
Vampires and more serial killers.
I mean, I didn't read Anne Rice till much later either, so I was not prepared for sexy vampires for a while.
Gotcha.
I don't think that was until high school. So, but yeah, it kind of eases you into it and gets you used to it. But at the same time, like, I think I was like the summer before I started high school. Me and my friend in Florida, my grandfather was taking care of us, and he would take us to the video store and just let us rent whatever we wanted. So we went through the Phantasm series. We went through all the Freddy ones, Nightmare on Elm Street. We started Jason. like, we just worked our way slowly through the horror section of that tiny little family-owned video store in Florida. Because it's also Central Florida. If you're not around Orlando, there's not... Or even if you are around Orlando, short of the theme parks, there's not much to do just, like, in the summer without a theme park.
It's pretty empty.
And those are expensive.
Yes.
You can't afford to go to a theme park every weekend.
Not unless you had one of, like, the season passes, and those are expensive, too.
Yeah, no, it was... You gotta go once a summer, if you're lucky. So there was a lot of reading. Actually, that's the same summer I started reading. Carrie and Cujo and the actual Stephen King novels.
Mm-hmm. Like, I got into horror later. Like, again, I knew these things existed, but I kind of knew my own tastes even at that age that I didn't think I would enjoy it. Although I did find my teacher's an alien.
Oh, those are great. I have all of those still.
Yeah, I read a couple of those. There was another series that... I don't think it was the My Teacher's an Alien series, but there's another series that I read where it was another group of kids at a middle school. I think it was a middle school. And, like, weird... Again, it's more folklore than it is horror. It's, like, weird things kept happening to them. Like, they thought their teacher was a witch. Dude moved in, like, near the school that they thought was a genie. And, like, weird things would happen during the book that would be like, is it? Is it not? Is magical shenanigans happening? Or is it all in their heads?
Yeah.
And I read that series, but I can't remember what it's called. I cannot. It's something whatever the creature was doesn't do X or something like. It okay. followed that format of, you know, like...
titling.
Yeah, it's like, genies don't drive, you know, pickups or something like that. It was that kind of format.
But circling back, that also makes me think of Are You Afraid of the Dark? Because a lot of about half of them, I think, were kind of ambiguous like that mm-hmm. as well. It's like... Was it really a monster, or was that place really haunted, or was it just some creepy guy who lived in the house, like, yeah. messing with the kids?
I remember there was one about, like, a lighthouse that, like, the ending of it creeped me the hell out because it was this dude, like, telling, I want to say it was his son or his daughter, about, like, a ghost that lived on the shore. And then the ending scene is just someone walking to, like, the edge of the shoreline. And you're like... I don't know why, but it just... That ending scene just, like... It just made all the hair on the back of my neck stand up. And I was just like... nope.
Lighthouse? No lighthouse.
It was set on the beach. Like, I think it was about a lighthouse. I'm not sure.
Tale of the Phantom Light.
I don't know.
The ghost of someone who may know how the curse was created. I don't know.
It was a very long time ago.
It was a very long time ago.
Let me see if I can...
But... let's see. Laugh and Dark. Yeah, no, I'm not off the top of my head. Just, like, a quick peruse of the list of episodes. I'm not seeing anything like that. I'm not saying there wasn't. I'm just, like, without going into more detail.
Oh, I think this may have been it. The one that I found, The Adventures of the Bailey School Kids. The one that I found is Witches Don't Do Backflips. Vampires don't wear polka dots. Werewolves don't go to summer camp. Santa Claus doesn't mop floors. Leprechauns don't play basketball. Ghosts don't eat potato chips. It's that kind of shit.
Okay, but yeah.
It's called The Adventures of the Bailey School Kids series, and I read them.
Okay.
Frankenstein doesn't plant petunias.
I think those might have come out... while I was
these
a bit
were,
too old. Because I remember seeing those titles.
These were... that started in 1990.
Huh. Oh, I must have missed it then until I was older. Because I know I've seen some of those covers before, but...
yeah.
I don't think I ever read those.
There is 51 books that I can see. And the last... looks like the last latest one was published in 2006. So 1990 to 2006.
I had, before Harry Potter, there was a, I want to say it was the Chimney Witches series. It was literally, like, witches that lived in chimneys or used chimneys to travel. And this is really young, because this is something I read when I was, like, this was definitely elementary school reading for me. And I loved witches. I thought they were the coolest thing. This was not helped by the Teen Witch movie, which I still love to this day. You can't tell me it's terrible. I love it.
The
Worst Witch that was on HBO that one of my friends copied for me so I could have a copy.
I watched The Witches way too young.
Oh, I love The Witches. Oh, and that book by Roald Dahl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was also a whole summer reading of me just reading Roald Dahl, like, children books.
Yeah.
I read so much over the summers. but, yep, no, I definitely had that, and I can't find it. It's fine.
Yeah, sorry. Tangent.
Well, Chimney Witches would still count.
Yes, they still count.
I did ask Gina, who's a friend who's a bit older than me, if she remembered anything. And both her and my friend Mike mentioned there was a lot of, like, collections of, like, anthology stories. So, like,
yeah, little anthologies. Yeah,
H.P. Lovecraft. I know Mom had a copy of. What's the other one? Not Lovecraft, but the other... oh, I can't think of it. All I could see is the book cover, which is black, but with the face of a person, but it's got lines like it's a fleshy brick wall with this person screaming in horror. And it was a horror anthology, and I can't remember the name of it right now. It's going to drive me nuts.
Oh, it's a lovely image anyway.
Oh, no, it was terrifying. As a kid, I was, like, horrified but enthralled. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, because they say that it's like, you know, H.P. Lovecraft anthology, but even that wasn't specifically written for children.
Right.
I don't know.
And then,
like,
there was, we talked about Edgar Allan Poe, which, yeah, like, we read The Raven as well, and...
I think, like, it may be a relatively modern, you know, thing to have, you know, YA horror.
It was a Ray Bradbury collection.
Ah.
Which you'd think I would remember, because he also wrote Something Wicked This Way Comes, which was also a good movie that terrified me as a kid. Oh, I love that movie. I also watched a lot of horror growing up, guys.
Yeah. I didn't get into horror movies until I was in college, and that was only to watch the really, really terrible, like, sci-fi direct-to-TV movies that were considered horror movies, because they were so bad I could laugh at them. And that meant I wasn't terrified. It wasn't until later that I actually started watching, you know, actual good horror movies.
I don't remember them being, like, especially horror. Like, they weren't graphically violent, like, because, again, 80s slasher horror was a big thing. 976 Evil, also, like, ridiculous over-the-top gore. Like, does not bother me at all because of this. But, like, I specifically remember I made a compilation videotape that was The Silver Bullet, The Lady in White.
Silver Bullet, actually, I quite like it. But
not The Frighteners.
Again, Silver Bullet is about a werewolf, which...
Yes.
...goes towards... folklore.
We also had Something Wicked This Way Comes on that VHS, and this is gonna bother me. I'm trying to think of it. The premise is this family inherits a castle in, like, England, and mm-hmm. it's haunted by a whole bunch of ghosts, and the big scene that I remember is they're putting on a play, and, like, the ghosts are making the play real. So in the play, somebody's getting attacked by like a sea monster, but the ghosts make it so, like, an actual, like, monster tendril, like, reaches out and hits them because they're trying to get everybody who's staying at the hotel out so the stupid American family will leave and give them back their castle. And it was, again, like, horror comedy, not really horror. It was, like, at worst, PG-13.
Do you remember, like, the actors?
I'm trying to think. Because my brain keeps saying The Frighteners. I'm like, no, The Frighteners was different, brain. I know The Frighteners. We saw that in the theater with my mom. But it was kind of that same 90s horror...
90s horror comedy.
Comedy thing. I'm going to make a terrible quick Google search about that. Haunted Castle movie. 90s. There can't be that many.
Castle horror ghosts.
Not the Haunted Hill. Not the Haunted Mansion, though it was kind of along those lines of, like, wacky. Wackadoo. Not Casper. I did see Casper. It's not very that scary.
No, Casper. Casper's YA, definitely.
Yeah, that was definitely part of the starter. Oh, like, also Addams Family.
The horror starter kit. Casper and the Addams Family.
Scooby-Doo. Can't forget Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo. Yep, that was also YA horror. It's light, but it is YA horror.
You know, I'm pretty
that really
sure
I... seems to be, like, the beginning kind of golden age. For,
yeah, again, that's like 70s, 80s.
Zoinks.
We did this to ourselves, people. You know, I feel really confident that I still have that VHS tape, actually, in my collection.
Well, I don't know if you want to go diving for it right now, but maybe later.
I'm resisting the urge, and then I'll just put in our chat group later.
Yeah, like, we'll put it in the notes of I found it.
Exclamation points. It's on the tip of my dang tongue. Because it was like the same time Death Becomes Her came out. Other, like, wacky horror, but not really horror kind of thing. Where they just slapstick, like, heads are turning all the way around as they try to kill each other, but they're both immortal.
That's just gonna bother you, isn't it?
Slightly. Could go through, like, 90s movies at this point.
Well, while she's doing that, If she sees it before the end of the episode, we'll shout it out. But feel free to chime in by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com, or you can also tweet us at geekgrills. You know, tell us if you had a favorite, like, YA horror series growing up, or just a regular horror series. We'd love to hear from you, and I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff we've missed, because we're only us. We've only seen what we've seen. So...
I could go over a list. Like, there was the Friday the 13th television series. I had nothing to do with the Friday the 13th movies. And that TV series was all about basically an antique store that they would try to find, like, haunted items, or, like, haunted items were sold from and they were trying to collect them back. Scooby-Doo and the 13 Ghosts, narrated by Vincent Price. Scooby-Doo and the Ghoul School, classic.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
But yeah, no, tell us what was your starting horror?
Your horror starters.
Yeah. Barney, maybe? I don't know. I'm not judging.
Oh, the purple dinosaur.
He haunts us all.
So, what are you most anticipating coming up?
Well, I've got a trip to Augusta, which will be fun. I'm going to see some friends, and it'll be a good weekend. And it's also going to be my first long drive all by myself, so definitely got to check my car and make sure it's good for the drive before I do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday, we're going to do another recording for Atomic Youth for the Aberrant game that's hosted by Simulacra Studios. And I freaking love that game with all my heart.
She's one of the voice talents.
I've done so much art for it just because I'm just so into it. Like, I just love Aberrant. It's so much fun. Ever want to be an X-Men, play Aberrant. Or... want to be part of the Mutant League of Evil, whatever.
They could have picked a better name. Maybe we can make that another topic. Let us know.
Oh man, if we talk about X-Men, we have to get Abby.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to get some others. As for me, I've got Cat Game coming up this week. I have D&D. Fortunately, I don't have to do quite as much crochet to get my stock back up, because some of the big things sold, but I have a lot of little stuff. So I'm going to be doing some crochet because I have some commissions that have come up because of going to the market. And I have the last market of the month is this Sunday. They're having all into September and October, but I have to take September off because I am too busy. I'll be going back in October to the market, so I have time to make some fun Halloween-y type things for my last market day in October. But that's basically what's coming up for me. So remember, folks, you can always come and watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Our next one will be on, let me see, the 30th. The 30th at 5 p.m. PST, 8 p.m. EST, and we'll be talking about the Olympics BS.
Ah, yes. Olympics. I was like, which one did I go with? Olympics or V2? Okay, yeah. Olympics.
The Olympics BS. So we'll be getting into that. It should be hilarious.
Watch Olympics. All right, well, thank you so much, everyone. And don't forget, in addition to the subs and bits that we got on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons. You are the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. You can check out what topics we're going to do in the next month on our schedule below on our Twitch page. And if you're a patron, you can suggest a topic for us. I mean, even if you're not a patron, you can email us and we'll look at it. So we'd love to hear your ideas. Where can we find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Instagram under DappleDame and on Twitch as Ray Ino.
You can find Ember. She can be reached at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch and on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast. I got it right.
Yay!
You can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. One day I'll start streaming again, I'm sure. And you can check out my website at madcapm.com. I am still quite low on product because I'm going to market days, but I'll do my best to get things back up and running on there very soon. So thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.